Father, I thank you as always. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even today, let that light shine in our hearts. Give us revelation, knowledge, understanding, inspiration. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been doing a mini series out of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And it's been powerful. Yesterday, powerful testimonies. In fact, some of them, I listened to them later on. So powerful, powerful testimonies. And we thank God. Praise the Lord. It's always an amazing thing when we can use the word of God and, you know, prove to ourselves that it works. Because the word of God carries the power to change situations. Has life in it even. That's what Jesus said. Words I speak, spirit and life. Yeah. So that word always, you know, has the power to do something good for us. And we can use that word in many ways. Let's talk about another way of using God's word today, which we have talked about in the past, but it goes along with this discussion that we've been having. Using God's word as the word of your testimony. So the first thing we want to do is talk about what the word of our testimony might mean. I call this a faith lab. A faith lab, as we've talked about in the past, you know, you can prove things to yourself in a faith lab. You know, yeah, go to a laboratory and run experiments and things like that. And you're trying to make discoveries. Research and development sometimes happens in laboratories. But once the process has been perfected, you know, manufacturing can happen also in the laboratory. You know, the same lab where they were trying to figure it out, all of a sudden now becomes the place where they have figured it out. And the formula has now been established. They can even patent that formula and use the formula exactly the same way every time to get the same results. That's science. You know, science is, you know, exact. It's not guesswork. While you are unsure, still trying to figure it out, you may run experiments and things like that. Once you figure it out, you know, it works always the same way. Praise the Lord. So, if you are seeing this title on today's room, we're calling it Faith Lab, and you're wondering, what exactly might that mean? In case you haven't attended one of these before, it may take a little time to intimate you with, you know, the use of the word laboratory. Lab is just abbreviated for laboratory. And what do we do in a lab? I want you to engage. Interactions in these rooms are always good. What do we do in a lab? Can you put something in the chat room? What do we do in a lab? If you've ever been in a lab when you were in high school or whatever, different kinds of labs. It might be physics lab, chemistry lab, biology lab. What did you do in those labs? Some of you may still even be working in a lab today. You know, I don't know. What do we do in a lab? I'd like to see your interactions in the chat room. Praise the Lord. I had to get a sip of water there. Hold on a second. All right, sorry about that. Okay, so let's talk about lab. I want to see if people are posting anything there. What you might do in a lab and what a lab might be used for. And I'll read to you also what the dictionary says, at least one dictionary definition. First, let me see what people are saying, if any. Okay, let's see what people are saying. A lab is make deductions, perform experiments, learning new things. Arizona says we learn, make hypotheses, test theories, Victor testing, Maggie proof, and so forth. Thank you all for those responses. More responses can come as we go through. I want reactions as we go through these rooms. Put your reactions in the chat room. Here's one dictionary definition. A laboratory is a controlled facility that is designed for scientific research, for experiments, measurements, spanning medical, chemical, physical, and biological disciplines. Just like I said, when I was in high school, I loved the sciences. As a matter of fact, the high school that I went to, I just give you that a testimony. It was, they were focused quite a great deal on sciences. In fact, they had a science club. The science club, though, you could only join the science club. So in the early years, the first and second years and so forth, we did what we call general science. You just combine the studies. They didn't break out the biology, chemistry, the physics. It was just one class called general science. And then when we got into the higher classes, from 3 and above, then they broke that up into, the individual sciences. We now started taking classes in physics, in chemistry and biology separately, not as a combined general science class anymore. And then they had this science club. The science club, though, you could only join at the Form 3 and higher levels once you got into the places where got into the level where they had broken out the classes. You could join the science club. You had to be there. Well, there were two persons that were in my set where we were there, two persons who were drafted into the science club from their first year. We used to call it Form 1. I was one of those two, and then one other person. I didn't even apply. We were just drafted. I didn't even know that there was a science club. But because we were doing very well in the sciences and so forth, even in the general science, at the time, the instructor or the teacher recommended our names. And somehow, they looked at the history of how well we were doing, put us in the science club from Form 1. Everybody else was in Form 3 and higher. So, I just loved the sciences. It was destiny. I didn't know any of that stuff. I wasn't applying. I wasn't even, trying to get in there. But once I got in there, this stuff is cool. I particularly liked the chemistry lab because we got to throw substances together and make something. Sometimes something will explode. That you want to take sulfuric acid, especially one day we were playing with that in the lab. Something exploded, But I loved, you know, that stuff, you know, just throw things together, you know. You're trying to prove something, but I was a little more curious, you know. Went a little bit outside the boundaries sometimes. But, you know, it was all good. I mean, it created this intrigue and this thing in my mind of always trying to discover things. I didn't know back then that I was just doing science and lab and stuff. I didn't know back then that this will actually become effectual and effective in my life, even in the Christian, in my walk with God. Later on in life, when I started to understand faith, you know, I would, you know, think back on those things, you know, and when God gave me this thing about Faith Lab, I've been conducting Faith Labs for years. You know, occasionally I would just say, well, we're going to do a Faith Lab. What's a Faith Lab? Exactly what we're talking about today. You know, and since the subject is on faith, the thing is, in the lab, you try to prove your faith. You know, and what do? We very simple steps. But if you follow the steps the same way, they work the same way every time. Later on in my adult life, I worked in with a pharmaceutical company, a very large pharmaceutical company here in the United States. You know, so, and they were the ones that made, some of you might know, the Johnson & Johnson products and some aspirin and Tylenol and all this stuff. And so first time I got to their campus, I was doing consulting at the time. I said, well, I want to see the lab, because I was always, you know, curious about that. I wanted to work there too, because there was lab in the name of that company, you know. So when I got there, I did a tour, you know, gave me a tour. I'm like, what do you guys do here? And I found the sections, there were certain sections that, you couldn't just go in there carelessly, protective mask and so on. But if there were chemicals. But, you know, there were sections where they did research, and there were sections where they did production. But it was the same lab, you know. And I explained the process to me, and I said, yeah, that's pretty cool. And I actually watched some of the process of how, after the formula had been perfected, you know, how they use it to, you know, make a product. And they had to follow the same process every time. Every time. If they deviated, it didn't bring out the right results. You just have to follow the same process that's been proven. And while you are proving it on the research side, you can dabble into many things. But once you got it right, you know, our process must be followed. They had equipment, they had technology to guarantee that the process was followed. So many measures of this, so many ounces of that, so many grams of that, so many this, so many that, you know, guaranteed when they put it together, brings out the right. The right combination brings out the right things, you know. So, and we've been teaching, I've been trying to teach that to people in faith, you know. As a matter of faith. Faith works the same way. Number one, our God is not a yo-yo God. There's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning with him. It's James 1:17. Every good thing comes from him, and he doesn't go up and down, doesn't have mood swings. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. No, if you follow the process, it always works. You know, keep that in mind. This is a Faith Lab today, and I want it to be more interactive. The other thing we'll find out about how to use God's word, and we've been talking about that the last few days, is that in this verse in Revelation 12:11, powerful verse, powerful, you know, And I'm doing this lesson more for the benefit of people who are joining us who have not heard these lessons, because we've taught them many times. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame the devil, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. There's some critical things there in that short verse. You know, overcoming the devil means that you're in a battle. You're fighting a battle. You know, they have some tools that they use. One was the blood of Jesus. That one somehow keeps the devil at bay. You know, if you know how to use the blood of Jesus, you know, and people chant the blood of Jesus all the time. Sometimes maybe it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. It's like chanting the name of Jesus. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. We've seen the story of the seven sons of Sceva who were chanting the name of Jesus, but it didn't work for them. You know, they said, well, you know, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. You can find that story in Acts 19, you know, verses 14 through about 17. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of them. They were trying to do some exorcism. You know, they cast out devils from a man that was devil possessed. It didn't work. I mean, they knew what the tool was that they could use, but it didn't work. And that's the other lesson we taught in the series about the keys. Why might it not work? Well, in this case, it didn't work. Because the devil said, look, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know you guys. So somehow, devil wasn't afraid of them. You know, now, that devil needs to be afraid of you. That's right. You know, devil is not afraid of many people. He just, you know, bamboozles them all over the place, play ping pong with them, kick them up and down and so forth. You know, but that's not you. You are a child of God. In fact, when the devil saw Jesus coming, just coming, hadn't done anything, they used to cry out, say, hey, are you come to cast us out before our time? They were afraid of him. Have you come to cast us out before our time? Hey, we have some time here. You know, leave us alone. They were afraid. Just seeing him alone, they were afraid. Now, can you say that the devil's afraid of you? You know, or does he just toy with you and so forth? If you know who you are, you begin to exercise the word of God, the devil can begin to be afraid of you. Now, of course, you've heard the saying that devil is not afraid of Christians who don't pray. You've heard that. You know, he's not afraid of them because they are powerless. They can't do anything. They don't pray. You know, they just go through life casually like that. Take everything the way it's coming and so forth. You know, devil is not afraid of that. Devil is enjoying that. You know, but I want you to learn this thing today. And if you have learned it before, here's a reminder. These tools, if you have them in your tool set and you know how to use them and use them correctly the same way, they are guaranteed to work. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, your faith, these things, you know, should be in your tool set. But here's one we want to talk about today. The word of your testimony. What does that mean? You know, the word of your testimony. You know, I mean, let's talk about testimony. You know, I want you to engage. What is testimony? When you hear the word testimony, what do you think? Can you put something in the chat room, please? Testimony. You know, testimony. What does it mean? Yes, let's put it. You can think of different aspects of life. Testimony, you know, in your life as a believer. Testimony in your job. Testimony in the courtroom. Whatever. You know, what is the meaning of testimony. What might it mean to you? You know, let's see what people are saying in the chat room. Proclamation of faith and witness. Okay. Praise the Lord. And, you know, assertions and declarations, the power of God in your life, speaking about something you experience as a result of your reliance on God. That's wonderful stuff. Thank you all for sharing that, you know. And these are all good, but even outside of faith, there is actual testimony. In a legal usage, for instance, legal terms, they might call a witness, you know, to the stand, to give their testimony. And sometimes they call an expert witness. Now, if you're a subject matter expert, you know, for instance, you know, if they are trying to talk about DNA or whatever that they found on a crime scene and so forth, trying to talk about the cause of death, they might bring somebody from the coroner's office or this and that, you know, whatever, you know, or they might ask you, and the opposition might challenge somebody who's trying to give testimony on something that's not their area of expertise. They say, Your Honor, I object. He's not an expert. He can't give testimony. You know, so, you know, I love those legal tussles. I usually, you know, love to watch those legal shows and so on. Learned a lot of things from there. But testimony there is, you know, they can even say, you know, can I ask you a question? Is it your testimony that such and such and such? And try to put the words in your mouth. And sometimes the opposition might say, Your Honor, you know, counsel is leading the witness. You know, say, no, can't lead the witness. But, you know, when you're on the witness stand, they want you to give a testimony. Sometimes they say, you know, you've got to swear in that the testimony you're about to give is the whole truth. You know, is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. That's a testimony so powerful. Now, what we're talking about in the faith arena, though, when you talk about the word of your testimony, it's not just testimony. It's your testimony now. And it is the word of your testimony. It's not just some random testimony. Now, when we give testimony to the glory of God, it's actually God's testimony. You know, you know, it's God's testimony. It's not our testimony when we're talking about the things that God has done, and we're giving him glory. Like we heard some powerful testimonies in this room yesterday. So powerful, you know. And that's the testimony of the Lord. That's not our testimony. You know, we are telling the things that the Lord has done. You know, the testimony of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, we talk about the simple every day in this room. Every day I quote Psalm 119 and verse 130. I'm always mentioning the entrance of your word, you know, brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Simple doesn't mean you are naive. It just means you have a heart ready to receive. Yeah, that's it. The heart of a child. Jesus brought a child in their midst and said, except you be converted and become like this, you can't even enter the kingdom. So, and your heart is simple like that. You know, you can give testimony. Testimony of the Lord is sure. So when we give testimony, it's really the Lord. It's not us. However, I want to talk about the word of your testimony that is yours. You know, your own testimony. You know, I was telling you yesterday, I was listening to a message that someone preached on this platform. It said, this is my story. What's your story? That's testimony. You know, so, but using the word of God as your testimony, what does that mean? Well, let's go back to this foundational scripture that I always refer to when we teach on this subject of using the word of God. I want to ask you if you remember what is in Lamentation chapter 3. In Lamentation chapter 3, I often quote a verse of scripture. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I already gave you enough hints. And does anybody remember this scripture I always quote out of Lamentation 3 about, you know, trying to do something or saying something using the word of God? Anybody? Let me see if anybody is posting. Lamentation 3. What verse might it be? Anybody? I'm sure I have some good students in this class that will remember. Lamentation 3:37. I quote this all the time. Who is he that saith, and it comes to pass when the Lord commanded it not? This is a very fundamental principle. You can't teach on this subject without that as a foundation. That's it. You cannot just come out and say something and it'll come to pass when it isn't something that the Lord has said. You know, so that is so fundamental. That's why in a faith lab such as this, we encourage the searching of the scriptures. Yeah. You know, it's research. That's one of the things you do in a faith lab. I mean, a lab. You do research. A faith lab, you search the scriptures. You know, don't just assume. Search the scriptures. You know, when you search the scriptures, in fact, wow, they're powerful. Jesus says, search the scriptures. John 5:39. You know, Paul told Timothy, take heed to the scriptures. They are able to make you wise unto salvation. All these things, you know, search the scriptures. Find out what God already said, because you cannot say it and think that it's going to come to pass if God didn't say it first. So that's why it's so important. That scripture in Lamentation 3:37, I want you to learn it. Let it be etched into your memory that this is the basis of the word of your testimony. You have to align the word of your testimony with what God already said, God's word. In other words, using God's word as the word of your testimony is what gets you the victory. Now, when Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame, you know, with these things, they are killing the devil with these things. Everybody knows about the blood of the Lamb. What we often fail to remember is that the word of our testimony can be a powerful weapon. And this is what I try to teach people when I talk on this topic. Most times, we all wait and give testimony after the fact. When the Lord has done some marvelous thing, and we come out and give praise to God, which is wonderful. We have to do it. Because Jesus himself said it, you know, there were 10 lepers healed. Where are the 9? The one, only one came back with a loud voice to give testimony and praise to God. So it's a good thing. However, it's not a weapon, you know, in the battle if you wait until the battle is over. When the battle is over, it's no longer a weapon, you know. To make it a weapon, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. To make it a weapon, while the fat is still gone, you got to use the word of your testimony during the battle. That's right. The testimonies we heard in the last few days, that's exactly what they were doing. They were faced with their child dying or something, you know, or faced with some sickness or something. And while the pain is still there and the problem is still there and the child is dying or whatever, you give the word of your testimony. You begin to say, don't call the child as dead. The child will live, you know. And then you say, you quote the word of God and so forth. And even if when you are going through stuff, you know, use the word of God to testify rather than saying, well, you know, some people say, I got COVID. How can you have COVID? Well, I read to you yesterday, you know, the scriptures, you know, in Isaiah 33, I think 24, that said, the inhabitants of that kingdom shall not say, I am sick. Why are you claiming that you have COVID? You may have been diagnosed with it, but you don't have it. don't claim it as yours. You know, the words that we speak, they're so powerful. That's why the sister yesterday was saying that, don't call that child dead. You know, because you know that those words are very powerful. Don't say you have COVID. Why would you say you have COVID? You know, don't say things like that. Even if you are diagnosed with it, you know, you use the word of God in the middle of the battle. After, I mean, when the Lord heals you of the COVID, you can come out and give a testimony. That's great. And we should do that. But while in the midst of the affliction, you can use your word of your testimony. You testify even before you've seen the results. That's so powerful. You change your attitude. You know, you begin to act like you already got the victory. You begin to praise the Lord. You haven't even seen anything. You know, powerful stuff. And this stuff works. You know, you know the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. Once he heard the word of the Lord, that the Lord will fight for you against Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, you know, that's it. That settled this in his heart. He called for a meeting, looking for the people that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness the most. He looked for the sons of Asaph, according to the commandments of David, and all the people that knew how to do the instrument stuff, you know, and they had rehearsals, you know, well, kind of like audition, because they were looking for the people that can do it the best, you know, and say, look, I want you guys to go out there and be praising the Lord for the victory. Victory? The battle has not even been won. You be praising the Lord for the victory. Well, that's how you do it. Praising the Lord for the victory, using the word of your mouth to testify that you already got the victory when you even haven't gotten the victory. That's how you do it, you know. And, of course, he did get the victory. You know, he put these people that knew how to praise the beauty of holiness in front of the soldiers. Put the soldiers in the background. Said, soldiers, today you're not fighting. Today we're declaring that we already have the victory. That's it. The Lord said we shouldn't need to fight. So begin to testify as if you already have it. Praise the Lord. That's right. I mean, there was this classic story of Abraham. At the time, his name was Abraham. You know. So, and when God gave him promise, well, he said, I am going to change my name. The Lord told him too. He said, your name will not be this and this. it will be this. You know, so the Abraham, the word Abraham, A-B-R-A-M, actually means exalted father. But it's also already an attribute of father in there, but not necessarily many or many times over as a father, just exalted father, which could be just one father. You know, so, but when the Lord changed his name to Abraham, that means father of a multitude of nations, of many nations. Now, you could be father, which means you'll be one, a father of one, or you could be father of many. So, the Lord took what he already had. He already had a name that he would be father. God took that. Say, that's good. I can work with that. So God took that name and said, that name that you have, I call you exalted father. Well, I'm going to take that name and multiply it. I say, this is what God does. He always starts with something. Now, in the beginning, God started with nothing. He called things that were not from nothing. I mean, that were from nothing. Just, but once he made something, he went back and used that something. And that's the principle. You know, when there was nothing, he called them out of nowhere. But once they made it, once he made the seas and made the earth, he began to call things out of the sea and out of the earth. Let the earth bring forth abundantly. Let the waters bring forth abundantly. He's not calling it anymore out of nothing. At first, he called the things out of nothing. Now he has the materials to use. Praise the Lord. It's like in the lab. God now has materials. He now has the water, now has the earth, he now has these things. Begin to tell the water to bring forth the fish, bring forth animals and this. Begin to tell the ground to bring forth this and that. Same thing. Same principle works all the time. When God takes whatever is already there, it's like what is in your hand? It's already there. He can take it and use it. Same stories we've told multiple times. You know, take the little that you already have. Let God multiply it. The story of the widow of Zarephath, the same thing. The little that she had. She had something, but it was little, and she thought it wasn't enough. It was only going to be enough for one meal. That's fine. You know, in God's hands, that's all you need. The word of the Lord upon that situation changed everything. You know, the barrel of meal shall not waste. The cruse of oil will not fail. And that was the way. The widow that came to Elisha to say, well, if my husband is dead, they're trying to take my children. Same story. You know, Elisha said, what do you have in the house? Well, took her a while to remember what she had. But once you figure it out, Elisha said, well, that's enough. That's what we're going to use. Always the same situation. The disciples, I said, we can't feed these people. Send them away. Jesus said, no, give them to me. He said, where in the world are we going to get the food? Feed all these people. Jesus said, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. So he said to them, what do you have? You know, always waiting for you. You need to figure out what you already have. See, the beginning of your miracle starts there. Figure out what you already have. You know, and he said, well, one boy gave us his lunch. But what is that among so many? And Jesus said, it is enough. You know, it's always enough. You know, so Abraham's name was enough for God to work with. Some of you may not know that that was the meaning of his name. It was called Exalted Father. That was the meaning of Abraham. And God said, well, that's good. I can work with that. Praise the Lord. As I said, instead of you being Exalted Father, I'm going to change that now and make you Father. You already have the attribute of Father, but your name indicates that you may be Father of one, you know. Now I'm going to change it and make you father of a multitude of nations. Wow. Once Abraham got the revelation, what did he do? He actually changed his name publicly. That's how you use the word of your testimony. He changed his name publicly. Don't call me Abraham anymore. My name from this time on will be Abraham. And the people knew what it meant. Father of nations. And they would laugh. You know, we who have all our children around us, you know, we don't even call ourselves father of nations. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be the father of nations? You got to have one first. Because before you can be a father of the world, we always knew you were crazy. But what is this stuff, father of nations? And he said, well, that's what I am. That's what I will be. Because God said so. And for 25 years, he carried the word of that testimony. He just continued to use it every single day. If you call him Abraham, he didn't answer. What is my name? You know, until you call him Abraham, then he would answer. You know, that was his word of his testimony. He used it the whole time. While he was still waiting for the thing. I just using it. You know. Praise the Lord. You know, so God will use, God will deposit something upon what you already have. Use what you already have. You multiply, you know. So the same thing with what God did with Sarai. And Sarah, you know. So there were, you know, Sarai, which was her name originally, you know. This name meant my princess or something like that. You know, when God changed it to say Ra, was a brother meaning, you know, to be mother, you know, of many, you know, something like that. A noble woman and moves into a broader meaning is what the translation says, you know, and God taking something little, but they had to use, Abraham especially, had to use that testimony in his everyday life. So, how do you use the word of God in your everyday life as a weapon? Well, you use it now. You don't wait until you see the victory. At the time the victory is done, it's not a weapon then, you know. You're giving praise to God, which is good, but you did not use it as a weapon. You got to use it as a weapon while the thing is still going on. The fight is still going on. So what you do is you find the word of God. So this is a faith lab now. The aspect of the faith lab is this. You find the word of God that relates to the situation. I said the other day, and I mean it. If you cannot find something in the word of God that has an answer to your situation, you're out of luck. You know, there's no solution. You know, and you don't need the answer. If God doesn't have an answer to something, then you don't need that answer. If you want to know and God doesn't know and can't tell you, then you don't need to know. And you don't want to know. Because there is nothing that does not have an answer and a solution in this Bible. You know, so start there. Find it. There are some catch-all promises, but there are some specific ones. And the way you use it is find the one that applies to your specific situation. Does it mean you've got to carry the Bible around every time and immediately when something happens, you start to scramble and look? It means you're keeping this word in your heart so that John 14 and 26 can happen when you need it. In John 14, 26, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Now, he can't bring to your remembrance what you never heard. you've already heard it. You have read it. You knew it. Perhaps you forgot. And the Holy Spirit will remind you. But it's not at the point of time when you need it that you are hearing it for the first time. You know, you've already heard it, you know. When people are facing panic situations, and that's the first time that they are praying about that situation, that's why they panic. You know, the one that's already prayed through will not panic because you knew that God heard you already. Praise the Lord. So, but you will panic if you're praying about that situation for the first time, then you panic. But if you already prayed about it, before you got into that situation, you will be assured that God already heard you. I know God heard me already because I prayed about this already. That's most of the time, that's how I operate. It's like, I already prayed about this. You know, so I know God heard me already. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you another thing that's powerful about faith. Now, this is only for those who can receive it. If you can receive it, fine. If you cannot receive it, well, then you cannot receive it. There are some things that Jesus said, look, there are some things that you cannot receive right now. Even Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said, look, there are some things that are hard, you know, I can't tell you things right now. And sometimes he said, look, when I should be telling you things that are more advanced, I can't, because you're still like babies, you know. But you can receive it. Let me tell you something. This is powerful stuff. This is what gives me confidence in any situation. Any situation. Powerful stuff. First, you got to recognize who God is. Right? And remember what I said multiple times. God never starts something until first he has finished that thing. And that sounds crazy. But if you can receive it, Take a look. Consider a circle. Shall we God on that circle? You know. Now, how do you tell the beginning of the circle? You can mark a point, but if you're on the circle, right? If two people are on that circle, how can you tell who's ahead? They're on a circle. It's not a straight line. The one might have gone around and come back. It's like when you watch, I love to watch track and field. Sometimes when they run these long races and some of them are on the, you know, around the track, you know, some people lap their opponents. I mean, somebody is on lap 3, one is already on lap 4. And when you see the two that are running side by side, one of them is already one lap ahead, but this one is still on lap 3. This one's already on lap 4, but it looks like they're in the same place, you know, but no, they're not in the same place. One is already way ahead. Yeah, that's like God. On that circle, God's already way ahead. He's gone through it already. So when he looks to you like he's just there, he's already done it. That's what it means. It's that simple. God's already done it. Been there, done that. He's already done it. You know, that's why Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 tells you that. Look, especially in verse 15, that which is yet to be has already been. You know, with us, we think it's yet to be, but with God, it's already been. He's already seen, he's already done it. He's done it before you caught up to that point. He's already gone through that circle. He's done it already. And now you are here at the same thing, thinking that God is about to do it, but he's already done it. Praise the Lord. He's already gone through that circle many times over. And not only that, he has perfect memory of all things. Just think of it. If you were someone that had photographic memory is in stages, you know, and people can lose photographic memory after a time. I know it because I used to have photographic memory when I was young. These days, not so much, you know, but with God, he never forgets a thing, you know. So if he knows everything and he never forgets anything, well, think of it there. This situation that you are in now, God's already been through that circle. You know, he's already been through the circle. He's already seen it. That's why when God foretells the future, he doesn't predict anything. He just tells it the way that it is because he's already seen it. He just tells you what's going to happen. I explain it to people this way. I said, look, if you have watched your favorite movie multiple times to the point where you can recite what this person is going to say next in this scene, you've seen it so many times. Your friend comes over who has never seen it. You know, you can almost say to them in each scene what is going to be said and what's going to happen because you've seen it before. And you know, you've seen it enough times that you remember. Now, God doesn't need to see it many times. One time, because he's God. God never learns anything new, ladies and gentlemen. Hear it today if you've never heard it before. God can never know anything new. He cannot learn anything new. Cannot suddenly one day know something that he didn't know. You know, if that happens, then he becomes like you and me. You know, now God has to learn something. You know, God knows everything. Anything that there is and even that there isn't, he knows it already. So, I mean, he knows it. Cannot learn anything new. He already knows the situation that you're in right now. This is powerful stuff if you can get it. Now, that means if you understand that God's already been around that circle, that's why I say if you can receive it, if you can receive it, it's so powerful. The prayer that you are about to pray now for the situation that you are in now, God heard that prayer yesterday. He heard that prayer last year because he already been through that circle. He heard that prayer 2 weeks ago. So when you're suddenly in a situation which the natural mind that doesn't have this concept of God and faith in this way, you think, you know, it's a thing of regret. No, God already saw it. He already heard it. He already knew it. He already knew the prayer. You know, sometimes I pray a prayer that appears to be in the past. Now, to some people, this may be sacrilege because you can't receive it. But I know that God heard that prayer. If I'm praying about something now, about a situation that happened in the past, now, I'm not telling you to do that because you can't receive it, you know. So, but in my mind, if I say, I should have prayed about this thing yesterday, and I'm praying about it now. In my mind, I say, Lord, you heard this prayer yesterday. That's right. Because you've already been around this circle. I mean, this is absolute faith and trust in the Lord. To know that God already knows everything. Now, if that's the case, then what God says about the situation, you know he already saw it. That's why he said it. You know? So find what he already said and you begin to say the same thing. That's how you use the word of your testimony, you know, I mean, God's word as your own word. You can't say your own word and expect that, oh, you just say God's, you know, your word and that's it. No, you say God's word. God's word is his bond. You know, he's bound by his word. You know, he can't do otherwise. You know, he cannot do otherwise. He's bound by his word. Can't do otherwise. Now, if he's bound by his word, his name, on the other hand, is his reputation. You know, when we're doing the kingdom series, I told you about how, you know, the reputation of the kingdom or the reputation of the kingdom is based on the welfare of the citizens. You know, if the welfare of the citizens are poor, I mean, they're in poverty and all these kind of things, then that kingdom is not a good kingdom. You know, so the same thing with God. God has to make sure that the citizens of his kingdom are doing well, because that tells on him. So, you know, it's up to God to make sure that I'm doing well, because it tells on him, you know. Now, if I understand that, you know, then, wow, that's why Jesus said, your Father already knows what things you have need of, and he's already made provision. So don't stress yourself, worry yourself to death over something that your Father already knew, and he's going to take care of it. But he does things in his own time. What we need to understand is what God said, why he said it. Most of the time, we don't understand the why. But if you can figure out why he said it, the way he said it, then all you got to do is say what he said, the way he said it, and then leave everything to him. Praise God. If God said, I will make you the father of many nations, and you don't have a child, well, fine. You change your name to match what God said, and you call yourself that for many years, even until it comes to pass, you keep saying it. Say, God said so. You know, and one day, before you realize it, it's going to happen. And the scripture says we were like them that dreamt. When God finally turned our captivity, it's like, wow. You know, we were talking about in this series, we've been talking about, you know, you use the word of God against a situation that sickness or disease, maybe, you know, chronic or something that's been going on for a while. And then suddenly everything changed. And then it looks like it was a dream. But like them, I dreamt. I mean, this really happened. Yes, it did happen. You know, so when we are in the lab, what we do is research God's promises for the situation. Don't spend any time praying until you have found out what God had to say about that thing. You may be wasting your time praying if God didn't say it. You know. So, but if God said it, then the next step is for you to figure out how that thing needs to work. You have a key, but you need to figure out how the key works. Or you have a key, you need to figure out what it's for. You may not even know what it's for. You have a bunch of keys, you don't know what they open. It's no good. It's as if you're not hiding any key. So, in figuring out how it works, you go back to the scriptures. So, Holy Spirit will remind you. And today we have a lot of tools. We've got, you know, search engines. You've got AI. You've got, you know, all the tools that you can use to find scripture. So you have no reason to not be able to find the scripture. When you find it, read it. You know, do a little research in the lab, because it might have some conditions such as if, you know, and when people don't do the if, and then the thing doesn't work, then they get frustrated that I'm quoting the promise of God that doesn't work because you left out the important parts. If, you know, like Exodus 15, 26, powerful scripture on healing. But it has a lot of ifs, and four ifs at the beginning. You know, if you obey my voice indeed, that's how it starts. You know, if you hearken to my word, if you do my statutes and do that which is pleasing myself, all those things, you know, then, you know, I will do this. If my people are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if they do these four things, well, they humble themselves, they pray, they seek my face, they turn from their wicked ways. Then, you know, John chapter 15, verse 17, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, then you shall ask anything. Now, if you read only the second passage, shall ask anything and I will do it. And you don't read the if, then you do ask, then it doesn't work. Then you're frustrated. You know, so when you're using God's word, find out if there is an if, you know, and that if, you can't skip the if, you know, so make sure that you align to why God said it and the way he said it, the way he said it and what he said. What he said is important, but how you're going to bring it to pass is for you to understand the premise behind the promise. The premise may be the precondition God put there. But, you know, after you figure out that, after doing this thing for a while, that's why we call it Faith Lab, it becomes second nature to you over time. By the grace of God, that's the way I pray now. I don't even have to think too much about it. Because I've been doing it for so long, I know that I got to find the word of God for what I got to pray the word of God. That's how we pray. Pray the word of God. I call it prophetic prayers. You know, if you want, you know, prayer, pray the word of God. That makes it prophetic because it's going to happen because God already said it. You know, God already said it. If God already said it, and if you find it and you can affirm what he already said, you mean it too. And you expect it to happen, nothing doubting. That's what we taught in the Amen series. Then you got it. And that's how you use the word of your testimony. It starts in what I'm calling a faith lab. You're practicing having your senses exercised. You know, you're practicing. After a while, the lab that was once research and practice and experimenting and so forth, it turns to production. The same lab is where you produce the things that you have practiced. But now you got a formula for success. You got a formula. You know now it works. You know, praise God. What is the formula for real success in the scriptures? It's not what we think. It's not the way the world does things in the kingdom. That's not how it is. You know, Joshua 1 and 8, he said, look, you meditate on the word of God. This word will not depart from your mouth. You're thinking about it. You're meditating. You are speaking it too. You're speaking it. He said, then thou shalt have good success. You know, so, and it's the same thing in Psalm 1. The man that is connected. You see, you're not following the ways of the world. You're not standing in the way of sinners. You're not sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're not going in the counsel of the ungodly. But you are meditating on the word of the Lord, the speaking it. Find what God said and be speaking, and let that be your compass. You know, that's what you follow. Just follow the word of God. Praise God. What God said it, that's it. Follow it. You know, don't try to reason it. One of the blockers is reasoning. You know, reason can block the promise of God. When you reason, you look at yourself, I'm like a grasshopper. These people are giants. We can't take them. God said you can't. He said, no, I can't. Because I'm a grasshopper and these people are giants. And then God said, oh, you think of yourself as a grasshopper? Then you are a grasshopper. You will not go in because you thought you couldn't go in. That's the voice of reason. Voice of reason is very dangerous. You know, it's not by reasoning. It's by believing. He that cometh to God is not going to reason God out. Must first believe that he is. You got to believe it. When you believe it, then he will reveal himself to you. If you're trying to reason it out, you may get nothing. You say, well, I'm in old age now. I'm past the flower of my youth. You know, that's what Sarah thought. Say, like, you know, I can't, this can't happen anymore. Let's just do it some other way. She started to reason. You know, when you start to reason, it's very dangerous. It's subtle, but very dangerous. You know, you see that it's trying to rain, and you say, there shall be no rain today until I go and come back. I do that many times. You know, and then there will be no rain. But as you're about to step out, the voice of reason might come. Yeah, you've already declared it. See, you can't change. You've got to stay with that declaration. Because Jesus said, if you say it and don't doubt it, but you believe it, now, then all of a sudden, you doubt, you say, ah, I can see the clouds. I can see it's trendy. Why don't you go and take an umbrella just in case it rains? Now, the voice of reason has come in there, and the word you said before that it's not going to rain, now the voice of reason has nullified it. You know, yeah, and then, of course, you go out and you're going to be drenched. You know, now that's different than if it was already raining. It was already raining before you were about to step out. You don't have to. It's not everything that we need to expend spiritual capital on. Go out there and stop the rain because it's raining. Why? Let the rain. Somebody needs the rain. You know, Jesus wasn't going to stop the storm. Let the storm do whatever. You know, doesn't matter. I'm going where I'm going. You know, rain can't stop you from going where. If you need to take an umbrella, if it's already raining before you step out of the house, take an umbrella. You know, don't have to go out there and tell the rain to stop. You could. I've done that before. You know, but you don't need to do that all the time. But if you already said it's not going to rain, then it's not going to rain. Praise the Lord. Or if it's dry and you say it's going to rain, then it's going to rain. Don't worry about it. It's going to rain. You know, because you already said it. But if you start to think and reason and look at the circumstances, then of course you nullify everything. So here's what we're going to do today. In practicing again the word of God, we're going to do a little research. I want people to get used to doing a little research. Don't be hasty. But the scripture says, you know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, don't be hasty with your words. Yeah, don't be hasty. Take your time. Don't be rash with your mouth. Take your time. Find out the thing that God backs up is his word. You know, now it looks as if he's backing up your word when you are saying his word, but it's really what he's backing up is his word, because you're just saying what he said. You know, so the quickest way to get from point A to point B, Geometry will tell you that that's a straight line. Any two points in the geometrical space, if you try to draw a line between any two points, if you curve a little bit, well, that's going to be longer than a straight line. So a straight line is therefore defined as the shortest distance between any two points. If you go sideways or whatever, it becomes longer. So straight. The shortest distance from where you are to where you need to be is the word of God that he already said. See, the word is what's going to take you there. But it's by your faith in his word. And you turn that word to be your word. You begin to say what he said. Now, you don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord," all the time. You can't if you want to. But, once you know the word of God, you begin to speak that word. You speak that word. Here is one powerful word. And I think a couple of years ago on this platform, I asked people to recite, this short verse. I said, well, recite it and say it. Psalm 118 and verse 17. I shall not die, but live. and declare the works of the Lord. Look, when you're threatened with, life-threatening sickness that looks like it may take your life, quote this word. I shall not die, but live. I declare the works of living God. You will not die. It is not, death is one other thing that we can have power over when you know how to use the word of God. Now, Jesus needed to die, and he tasted death for every man. But I'll tell you something, too, that how Jesus used the word of his testimony to get victory over death. If you never thought about it, think about it. As the days were approaching, that Jesus knew now that he had to go to the cross, right? He began to tell his disciples. Now, if anybody tried to say anything contrary, like Peter, "Hey, master, that be far from you." Now, he put that guy in his place, cast that devil behind him, because you cannot dissuade him from the thing that God wants him to do. But on top of that, he started to testify. Even before, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise them. I'm coming out of that grave." That's how you do it. I'm coming out of that grave. You put me in that grave, but in 3 days I'm coming out of there. That's how you do it. You say it already. Even Elijah and Moses, they wanted to hear that, because they themselves, they know at some point God had already shown them. I called the two witnesses in Revelation 11, they're coming and they will be put to death. But they are depending on Jesus's resurrection for them to resurrect. So they came and talked to him and said, talking about his disease, the resurrection and his death. And Jesus gave them the secret. Gave them the secret. And they knew it too. And so the secret is, you say, "I'm coming out of that grave," even before you go into the grave. And Jesus began to say, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm coming out of there." and that's it. And that word that he spoke, he did come out of there in 3 days. You could put all the rocks you want on the grave and everything, it's blasting out of that place. You can't hold him down. Thou shalt not hold down his soul. And thou will not let it see corruption. Coming out of there. Glory to God. Now, the Jewish folklore believe that after 4 days, but by 4 days, you start to see corruption. Even Martha said it to Jesus. Now 4 days, by now he's thinking. That's what they believe. So Jesus is coming out of there before 4 days, so that they will see that I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer him to see corruption. Coming out of there. Praise God. Now, what is your testimony? What is the word of your testimony? What is the situation? Begin to declare. Hallelujah. Some of you have been believing that you'll be married. Well, call yourself Hephzibah. Call yourself Beulah. I am the chosen one. I'm married. Hallelujah. Change your name and begin to say it. Now, some people did it on this platform. You know, that's how you do it. Call yourself a joyful mother of children. See yourself in that new job and so forth, or whatever. You know, even before it happens, begin to declare it. You know, you say, hey, you know, you want to be promoted to something. You say, call yourself, see yourself in that new role and that new title. And begin to say it for yourself. Praise God. That's why the scripture says in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. But then the scripture is using the same thing. Now are we the sons of God, even though it doesn't quite yet appear, but we already are. You know, so we're talking about sons of God coming out in that glorious magnification, God glorifying the church and all of this thing. But now you already are the sons of God. You begin to say it, even though it doesn't look quite like it. You begin to say it, you begin to declare it. Praise God. Jesus said, I am my Father, I want. You say the same thing. I am the Holy Spirit, I want. That's right. But Jesus said, you are God's. That's right. You know, you act like God. Praise God. Act like God. Speak God's word. You know, don't act like, you know, the other day we talked about winners and losers. Don't act like you're a loser, because you are a winner. You know, a winner expects to win. You know, you're going to, I remember when I was competing in sports, I never competed just to compete. Some people did, but I competed to win. They say, oh, you know, it's fun to compete. I said, no, it's more fun when you win. Glory to God. You know, I was a winner. I'm always a winner. You know, I go in there to win, not just to compete. Paul said, look, the race is run by many, but one gets the crown. Therefore, run that you may obtain. You know, so I'm in a race to win. I'm not there just to compete. I'm in the race to win. I'm going to win too. So I already expect going to the race that I'm going to win the race. I expect it. You know, that's right. Some people expect that they're going to lose. And then you're going to lose. Because you say, well, you know, life never deals me, right? Life always deals me a rough hand. Well, then life will deal you a rough hand. But you can say, the lines are falling onto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Even when it doesn't look like it, can begin to say it, and God will watch over that word. The angels, they see to it too when you begin to speak his word. So that's how you use God's word as a word of a testimony. Before you actually see the results, you begin to say it as though you already saw it. That's what God did. God, who called things that are not as though they already are, we follow his example. These things are changing us into God's DNA. The scriptures, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, exceeding great promises given to us that we might by this become partakers of his DNA, the divine nature. Divine nature and attributes. That's DNA. You know. So we receive his DNA, divine nature, and attributes, DNA. Remember that today. You heard it today. That's God's DNA. You, through the word of God, through his promises, you receive the divine nature. You function like God. And you do it like God said. God speak the word even when there was nothing. You begin to say it as though it is. And when he said it, that's it. He walks away. It's done. Jesus said, feed the multitudes. He gave them the bread and walked away. It's done. That's it. We're crossing to the other side. It's done. He goes and sleeps. That's it. Once he says the word, it's over. You know, that's it. You speak the word in the storm, even before the storm. Don't wait until the storm is over. Then you come back and give a testimony. Oh, the Lord delivered me out of the storm. Wonderful. Well, that's good too. But while you are in the storm, before you know the outcome physically in the flesh, but you already know it in the spirit, God's been through that circle before. See, that's a powerful thing. Before you do that, you know that you've already been through there. You know, he's your shepherd. He's already been through there. He knows where the landmines are, the landmines are, and he can navigate through that. He knows it. Praise God. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I'm going to pray, and in a minute, I'm going to ask us to do another exercise. We've done this before, but for some of you who are new, maybe doing it for the first time. The exercise in the Faith Lab is find some things. At first, it looks like an experiment. But once you perfect it, it becomes a formula for success. And you do the same thing, sciences, you do it this way, it's repeatable. It's the same thing, the same process, the same result. Can't do it, same thing and then get different results. And that's why even if we're doing the wrong thing, you're doing the wrong thing, all the time, how do you expect it to get a different result? You're going to get the same result, but when you do the right thing, you're also going to get the same result. Do the right thing all the time. Speak the word. Use the word of God as your own word in your own situation. When you are sick, you say, I'm healed, and act like it. Glory to God. Praise God. Whatever you believe, you want to believe, make sure it's what God already said. And you latch onto that word and begin to say it. Begin to say it in your life. Begin to say it as though it has already happened, even though it hasn't happened. It's not that, it will be. No, you say it is. A woman said, it is well. Even when her son was dead, it's not just that it shall be well. It is well. She's saying it. Even though, it wasn't well, even though our son was dead, but she said, no, it is well. Praise God. I heard a powerful testimony yesterday. People were losing their child. I used the word of God powerfully. My goodness. I love to hear faith. Jesus said, I have not seen great faith like this. I want this platform to be a platform of faith. In fact, I believe that we are changing average believers to champions of faith. by you coming here every day and hearing other people's testimonies and hearing this word of God on a daily basis, you're actually becoming a champion of faith. Paul calls us professionals. He said, your profession of faith. Don't think of yourself as somebody that's still playing around with faith. In my job, I'm a professional. I'm actually a subject matter expert in certain areas of technology. I've been doing it for years. And when you come there, I can hold my own. Nobody tells me anything because I know what I'm talking about. I'm the guy when it comes to that. Now, I love to be the guy also when it comes to faith. When it comes to faith, these things that I'm telling you, you're hearing it from a subject matter expert on faith. This is something, this apostle said, things which we have tested, things which we have handled of the word of life. This is not fables. These are things we are proving. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children, for the word of God, for the exercise in faith. A chance to exercise our faith every day. And anytime you face that new storm, that's it. Another opportunity for you to exercise your faith in the word of God. Now put the word of God to practice. Let it be in your mouth. This word shall not depart out of your mouth. You speak what he said as your testimony even before you see the end result. Glory to God. That's using the word of God as the word of your testimony. To God be the glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.